Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. And this week, we have a little bit different format on the show, kind of a roundtable discussion. Steve?
But Derek, we've got two special guests on this week, Jim Townsend. He's the national committee man and also a state representative. And then we've got Ash Sowar. She's the voice of RPNM. She is our communications director. And so I just wanted to have a discussion about the debate. Dick Morris said it was absolute catastrophe, and other people are saying, okay, I've got something to work with. Jim, I'm going to start out with you. What were your impressions as you watched the debate?
Well, it was very interesting to be. That was my first presidential debate, of course. It was a packed house. It was about between 5,000 and 6,000 people were in the house, and it was vibrant. You had young Americans were in strong support of the process. You had the 168 that you and I are a member of that were down on the floor. You had the general public up on the other side. But there was 5,000-6,000 people that were in there trying to figure out who their candidate was and if the candidate that they thought they were behind showed up, and did they gain ground? Did they lose ground? There was a lot of jockeying for position going on. I think DeSantis, Ramaswamy, of course. Haley made some really, she was a rock star in this debate. She did a really good job. And I just thought that there was a lot of diversity shown. You know, they're throwing a few punches and elbows going around, but that's what debates are supposed to do. I told Paula this when we left, that it might have been better for the American public if the public wasn't even at the debate, if they had just been the candidates with those moderators, and then the public would have had the chance to view them after the debate. Because quite frankly, during the debate, and you could hear this side or that side start jeering about this or hollering about that, and you kind of felt like candidates may move a little bit because the impression they were getting back from the crowd. But it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed going. I think, you know, it was one of those trips that you get to see very probably one of those people are going to be, or one of our party members will be our nominee, will run for president, hopefully will be president. And it would be very easy for me personally to get behind any one of those, because any one of those is a heck of a lot better than what we have today.
Right.
Absolutely. Ashley, I'd like to hear your comments. You represent quite a bit younger viewpoint than many Republicans, also the Hispanic viewpoint. And what were your impressions as you watched the debate?
Well, it's really interesting to hear Representative Townsend speak on it, because he was there, and watching it on TV is a little bit different than being there and feeling the energy of the audience. And like he was saying, reacting certain ways to certain comments. I was encouraged by the debate. I agree with Representative Townsend 100%. I would vote for any of these candidates or President Trump over Biden any day. Everything that they were saying are all solutions. They're a little bit different. Some things I agree with more than others, but I think at the end of the day, they're all strong Republican points and strong Republican policies. I do think that there was one standout to me, and of course, that was young Ramaswamy. I think that he came out guns a-blazing. He was ready to boldly take on a lot of these really established Republicans in the party, and he's coming in like an outsider. It reminded me a little bit of Donald Trump in 2016. He kind of came in as an outsider. He said the same things. I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman, and I'm not bought and paid for. You know, you heard the same kind of commentary coming from Ramaswamy. And I think it hit a chord, because I didn't know who he was until that day. I mean, I'd heard about him, but I think that it hit a chord with Republicans to hear someone speaking a lot of really bold points, which I think anytime someone's going to come out and be bold is going to hit really well in this kind of climate, because this is the climate of cancel culture. This is the climate of everyone's afraid to speak out and say things that are a little politically incorrect, which is why, again, President Trump also hits really well in this kind of climate. People just want to hear bold points like that. But I do think the other candidates as well, they all kind of put a good foot forward. I think, you know, DeSantis had some good, strong points, and Nikki Haley had some strong points as well. But from my perspective, I think that Ramaswamy was kind of the star of the night. as far as the GOP debate went.
Yeah, speaking as someone who's been in pretty high level debates, I'm always watching for the strategy. And Ramaswamy really started out aggressive, meaning that he was jumping in and kind of stealing airtime. In other words, debates are supposed to give everybody about the same amount of time. And so when he would jump in, he literally taking someone else's time, and he was scoring a lot of points because he was so forward. For me, it began to wear a little bit heavy into the later stages of the debate. And what you do when you begin to take on seven other people, there were eight on the stage. And so basically he was kind of attacking the other seven in one form or another. And what that does is people begin to gun for you. And I thought that the exchange between he and Haley over his saying that Israel should not be funded the way they are, they should be funded about the way that the Arab nations are, that it ought to be the same for the Arab nations and Israel. And I thought she really scored major, and I felt like he came back on his heels at that point and never really reestablished his footing. Ash, so again, you kind of felt like that he was the strong performer of the night. What's your impression on that particular exchange and then the rest of the debate for him?
I think that that was the one point where Nikki Haley really came out and caught my attention, because I am absolutely 100% pro-Israel, and I am on the side that we do need to support and fund Israel. So that was a point where she saw that he was weak on, and she took that advantage, and I'm glad that she did. And then I've seen later on, Ramaswamy has come out and cleared up his position on Israel, taking a much stronger stance. And maybe that was because she attacked him pretty harshly on that and revealed a weakness in his policy. So he's now taking a lot stronger stance on Israel and clarifying it a bit. But yeah, I think that we should definitely be supporting candidates that support Israel and not let them get away with it. And I'm glad that she did.
Chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, State Representative Jim Townsend from Artesia, and Ash Solar, the Communications Director for the Republican Party of New Mexico, are discussing the Republican debate last week. And we'll be back with more in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as we continue to discuss the Republican presidential debate last week with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, State Representative Jim Townsend, and the communications director for the Republican Party of New Mexico, Ash Solar. Steve?
I'm not supporting any candidate as chair of the party. I'm not allowed to do that, and I don't have much interest, especially at this stage. But I thought that Hutchinson talked too much of the past. It was like, I've done this, I've done that, and some of the things he was referring to 20 and 30 years ago, I would have liked for him to update what he's saying are going to be his strong points. So I felt like that he gave up a lot of ground there. Governor Hogan was surprising to me. I didn't know him at all before. And I think that his inexperience in debate showed, because he was really trying to crowd too many points into his one, and he was skittering across the top of the water. And when I was listening, if you really listened carefully and knew what he was talking about, you could follow it. Otherwise, you'd probably get a little bit lost. And I think he probably lost a lot of the people. But he is a lot better performer than what I had expected to see. I know Senator Scott really well, and he was just stable, conservative, unabashedly conservative, Black candidate as a Republican. He's got to have nerves of steel to run like that. And so I appreciated his point of view. Of course, Vice President Pence was just a strong performer. Haley, like Jim said, I think that she got everybody's attention when the guys were all jockeying back and forth. She said, yep, that just goes to show you, if you want to talk about it, ask a man. If you want it done, ask a woman. Her timing was impeccable on that. I thought that that laid out well. But I agree with Jim, just as a matter of the debate, I think that she performed extremely well. Christie, of course, is very practiced, and he's probably been in more debates than anyone else on the stage, and that showed. I remember when he pretty well finished off Rubio in debate, and Rubio's campaign floundered after that, and so he's got the capability. He struck a couple of body blows into DeSantis and Ramaswamy that I don't think had the effect. I think that they were ready for it, and they kept their stability, and that's what you want to see. This office they're running for is going to be really high pressure, and you don't want somebody that's going to get off balance. And so for me, yeah, I want to hear the answers, but I also want to see how they're conducting themselves. So I think that all of them performed well. I think probably the thing that struck me is that DeSantis, being a current governor, and he could point and say, okay, we've done this, we've done this, we've done that. I think he's been on his heels for the last 6 weeks in the campaign. I have fired a lot of his staff. You go through that in campaigns, but I think that he really stabilized his position as one of the three or four who are going to be leaders as they go through this next phase of the campaign. But all in all, I felt like that all of them represented the conservative positions that we would want them to. Haley got, I think she hedged quite a bit on the life, and she and Pence got into a significant discussion over that. Ash, I know that the life issue is big for you. How did you see that piece of the debate when Mike Pence and Haley were going into it over the life issue?
Well, I thought it was really interesting because Pence is taking a more harsh stance in saying that he believes that the federal government can come in and decide an issue for the whole nation. And Nikki's taking more of the stance of her. And I think it was Burgum. He also said, this is about the Constitution. And we just had the Supreme Court rule that it should be a state issue. And now we're going in and saying, can the federal government come in and say, now this is not a state issue, we're going to make rules about it. So in that regard, it kind of got me thinking, I do think that it is a state issue, and that I think it's good that we're able to put it back to the states. But then again, I really do also agree when Pence said, we need to take a moral stand and say, after a certain period of time, this is murder. I believe it is always murder, but as a nation, there has to be some consensus that after certain amount of time that you can no longer debate over whether this is a living human or not, and we should not be allowed to kill a living human. So I'm kind of on the fence on both sides. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, Jim, especially you set mood in the room during that debate. I mean, it's a very difficult issue, especially for Republicans. I think that Haley said it best, that we're not going to criminalize women who have an abortion. But then, like Ash says, at some point it becomes murder, and you can't condone it at some stage of the development. What were you sensing as the mood in the room, Jim?
I think it's a mixture of feelings. They're predominantly people detest abortion, and they certainly detest it for any reason other than saving the life of the mother, and certainly in points of incest and rape and those kind of things. I think people realize that there's some place for a candidate to be electable in America today. There needs to be a line drawn in the sand, and we're all going to have to understand that this line is one that we can live with as a nation. I think it's probably in that 15-week area, if I was guessing. I think that's about right. And I think Haley, again, did a very good job on this topic. She talked about it being one that was critically important to the family, that it needed to be dealt with and it needed to be decided on. So I would tell you that I think the mood in the room was, we got to address this issue and we got to put it to bed. It's gone on long enough.
Yeah, I think so. Another issue that really caused some hard hitting was the issue of homelessness. And Mike Pence, and he's a really decent guy, and he's always thinking in positive terms. He made his comments about the homeless and things that we need. And Ramaswamy came back and said, Mike, it is not morning in America. He just really laid into him at that point. And I thought that was very effective. Again, that was early in the debate, and he was, again, crowding in without permission from the moderators. And at some point, debates only work when everyone follows the rules. And so they were making it very difficult on the moderators. They were trying their best to keep everybody kind of in their lane and speaking when they were addressed.
Things that I think they all uniformly and universally agreed on: border security. They don't like this two-tiered justice system that is being weaponized in America. They know fentanyl has killed way too many Americans, over 100,000 now. Ukraine is an issue. Our economy is an issue. The spending levels in America have been out of control. Inflation is staring us in the face. We're going to have to address that. DeSantis spoke to the RNC at lunch the following day. And then Vivek spoke at dinner that night. Both of them had about 30 minutes, did Q&A afterwards, and they're remarkable human beings. Different spectrums. Vivek is polished, young, quick, fast. He has a plan. As Haley pointed out, maybe the plan isn't perfect, but this guy's got a plan. And he said in the debate, it's time that we start going towards something. We start moving toward our goals and not being reactive to the oppression that we've felt for years. And so I think that was very strong. I think in the group, it was also very apparent that DeSantis has a ton of respect. He's been governor. He's performed. The Republicans from his state were certainly strongly behind him. And in that room that night, it was readily apparent that he had a lot of respect. And they both had a lot of respect, but one is the new guy on the block pushing. I mean, if you listen to him today, he was talking about doing away with the FBI, doing away with PED. I mean, he's thinking outside of boxes that we haven't really addressed. But do we need to work on FBI? Darn right we do. Do we need to do something on education, especially in New Mexico? Darn right we do. So he was hitting some good points. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and Christie performed pretty strongly on that.
He did.
As a U.S. attorney, I think he was formerly a U.S. attorney, he knew that there are 93 of them across the U.S. and that if you simply get them to do the job or get them out of their position, if they're not going to do it, that we can put a lot of people in prison that belong in prison. Ramaswamy, again, had said that in the homeless, you have to deal with the mental health issue. And I think that was right on track.
You're listening to a discussion about the Republican presidential debate last week with the chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pierce, State Representative Jim Townsend, and the communications director of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Ashley Soa. In just a moment, we'll talk about former President Trump not attending the debate. That's next on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
We're back on Inside New Mexico with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce, State Representative Jim Townsend from Artesia, and the communications director for the Republican Party of New Mexico, Ash Solar. We're discussing the Republican debate last week. Steve?
What was the sense in the room, Jim, about Trump not being there?
Interesting question. It came up a couple of times in conversation before we walked into the debate. I think people miss him being there. He has a huge following. And when you look at that group of eight up there and you see all of the talent, I was telling Derek before, you have to remember that the guy that leads by 30 points wasn't in the room. And so that is telling to how much support he has, not only in the RNC, but when I got in the Uber coming home, foreign guy driving right up there on the panel, Trump sticker. And it wasn't new. It's been there for a long time. So there are a lot of people that still have a tremendous amount of support for President Trump. And whether he is convicted of any of these charges against him, as long as Hunter Biden is out there pocketing millions of dollars off of the relationship with foreign countries, I don't think people are going to put stock in the weaponization of our FBI. In their minds, they believe it's not being treated fairly. Trump is being singled out because he is a candidate against a failing president, and they don't like it. And because of that, he's gaining ground that they're trying to take away from him.
Yeah. Hergen at that point made a really strong point that Trump is not, because the moderators were trying to get people to weigh in on whether Trump is disqualified. And of course, Hutchinson jumped right in. He's had a steadfast position for a couple of years that Trump is guilty and that he should be disqualified, that he caused the insurrection. Not very popular position, I'm sure, there at the debate. But Hergen came back and said, wait, China is the biggest threat. And that's true. China is a bigger threat than Russia. China is a bigger threat than anything else that we face. And so I was happy to see that. But mostly it seemed like that the candidates have made their whole campaign about Trump and negatively against him. But I thought they were tiptoeing around Trump pretty much that evening. So I know that they're looking, if they were to succeed to become the candidate, you cannot throw away those 50% of Republicans who feel like that Trump is the answer. Now, maybe people will choose someone else, but they're not going to abandon Trump. And so I think most of the candidates begin to get very careful there. I know in the past, Haley has been pretty outspoken, but I think that she throttled down quite a bit during the debate.
Yeah. It was very obvious to me that there was respect for the ability of the president to lash out, and they didn't want that. Christie probably was ready for bear more than any of them. I mean, he was ready to go to battle if he needed to. As we all know, he's pretty darn good at that. But I thought Tim Scott, you mentioned Governor Burgum, Vice President Pence. I mean, they showed a lot of character, a lot of patriotism, a lot of care for their fellow man and for America in general. Like I said early on, I could very easily vote for any of those over what we have today because any of these are twice as good. The absolute weakest of these is at least twice better than what we have today.
And I think that that's the mentality that we as Republicans should have going forward, because I know that everyone has their favorite up there on that stage, or maybe they weren't up on that stage, and I'm referring to President Trump. And I think that we can all have the people that we like, and that's okay. But I think as Republicans, we should all unite under that banner of anybody is better than this Biden administration that is driving our country into the ground. We're not going to have a future. My generation and younger than me, our American dream is being stolen from us. This is really crucial going into the next election. And I think whoever wins is really going to have to unite everyone. And it's our responsibility to unite under whoever wins and accept that this is our party and not fight over our candidate didn't win or I don't like this guy or whatever. So I'm hoping that that's where we can go, because at the end of the day, there's so much at stake and we have so much to lose over petty little infighting like that.
Yeah. And Ashley, those are wise words, I tell you, because especially today, whether you're talking about our presidential candidate, you're talking about who's on your school board or who's on your county commission or whatever you're talking about, it's fine to take issue with particular votes or to take them to task on something that's been said, but you have to remember that you can't tear the house down and allow the wolves to come in. And that's exactly what has happened too often, is you get someone that wants to just throw rocks at everybody. And in turn, what really happens is you wind up tearing your own house down, and it's very unfortunate. And we're better than that, and our children deserve better than that.
Yeah, I think that Ramaswamy made the point very strongly that we've forgotten how we're all the same, no matter what our differences are, no matter what our culture, no matter what our race, no matter what our religion, that we're basically all the same. And then he did declare that God's real. There are two genders. He went on then to name the things that he would support. But I think the one that sold the idea that the American dream is a lie was Senator Scott. I'm pretty well, a young black man with almost no future. And he has literally made the dream come alive to a lot of people, and especially a lot of minority citizens who think maybe they don't have anything out there for them. And here is Tim Scott sitting in the United States Senate. And so when he says the dream is alive, he's experienced it. And so those were special moments. All in all, a very special debate. It again showcased Republicans, and I think showcased the differences between Republicans and Democrats. That's what we have to sell to the American people, that our vision, that our understanding will be far more successful in dealing with the problems that the nation faces, that we're the ones with optimism, we're the ones with hope, we're the ones that know how to build the economy, create jobs, get rid of the inflation, fix the education, protect our rights, protect the unborn, and protect the women who are struggling with the question of abortion. I think that Republicans are the ones who can deal with those issues, and they sold it very well at the debate. So again, tune in for the next one that's going to be in at the Reagan Library in California. We will update you as we move closer to that. Jim Townsend, representative from Artesia, also national committee man for RPNM, and Ashley Solar, the young voice of RPNM, the communications director. Thank you both for joining us on this edition of Inside New Mexico.
Thank you, Steve. And if you've been listening to us and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. One is check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and an X account, used to be Twitter. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you'd like to speak to someone in person, call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.